This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Let's talk about renewing the mind a bit, because this is really part of the change process. We're going to look at the scripture verse, and we'll go over this numerous times. It's a wonderful one. It's in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, this was written to believers. This was written to Christians. He's telling them, don't be conformed, he said, to the pattern of this world. And it means shaped and molded, squeezed into this world's way of thinking, this world's way of doing things. And you have to understand that when he's talking about this world system, we're talking about a system that does not acknowledge God, that God is not in any of it. And so all the thought processes, and you don't have to look hard to find it. It's all about you and me, and it's exalting of man, but it also has a lot of negativity in it. It also has a lot of fear behind it. You just don't have to look far to find, when you start moving away from God, the darker it gets. And so he says, Paul is writing to Christians. He says, don't be conformed. Don't let the world, in other words, squeeze you into its mold. Well, how do I not let that happen? And here's another thought too. One, I don't want that to happen. And two, if I don't do something, it will. A lot of times people just say, I don't understand what's going on with me. I don't understand. A lot of times I'm going to ask, where have you been hanging out? What have you been listening to? Who have you been hanging out with? You say, well, why? It's just because Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Be careful what you hear. Who are you around all the time? When I came to Texas, I was away from the Lord when I came down here. This was a long time ago. This was in 1981 when I came to Texas. And so I had just come to Texas from North Carolina. I was all into the Western experience. I was a semi-preppy frat kid from North Carolina. I moved to Texas. I'm selling Western wear. So all of a sudden, I'm in the Western culture. I'd never listened to country music in my life until I came to Texas. But I think, hey, I'm going to Gillies. I'm selling Western wear. Might as well listen to the music. I'll never forget, I was sitting and I was calling a Western wear store. So it's that whole Western culture. And I'd never kind of grown up with that. I was more of a rhythm and blues guy and rock and roll guy. But when I came here, I decided I'm going to expand my horizons and listen to country music. There's certain things I like about country music. Country music artists are still the only one who will openly acknowledge God. And I appreciate that. But some of that stuff is depressing. And I remember sitting, I'll never forget, I was sitting at a stoplight in Houston, and I was hearing some song on the radio. It might have been Alabama. There's an old flame burning in your eyes that tears can't hide, makeup can't disguise. I remember listening to that, and I was just sitting there thinking, and all of a sudden the thought hit me. I'll probably wind up divorced. Now, you have to bear with me for a second. My parents just celebrated their 60th anniversary. I was very blessed. Mom, there's a shout out to you. Love you. She listens to all my podcasts. I grew up in a home where I believed that marriage worked. I just believed it because I saw it. I watched it. My parents argued, but they worked it out. And I thank God for that example. I appreciate it. But I just figured I'd get married and my marriage would work. But after listening to country music for a while, I just had a revelation. I'll probably get divorced. You say, well, where does that? You say, well, Alan, that's ridiculous. No, listen, there's a lot of voice. The Bible said there's a lot of voices in the world. And they're swirling out there, and boy, you stay in that for a long time. I tell people, if you're depressed, don't put on depressing music. If you're having a hard time, if you know you're going through a hard time, you have to watch what you listen to. And there's just a lot of stuff going on. This is one of the values of coming to church. You get to come and worship. You get to sing something that's edifying. You get to hear something that's edifying. It's not negative. You get to hear something that's got hope in it. Amen. And don't think that won't impact you. I tell people all the time, they come to me, Alan, I'm coming out of this situation, or I'm coming out of this. I look at them and unabashedly I say, every time these doors open, you ought to be in here. They're like, well, you're just trying to get people to come to church. That's exactly what I'm trying to do, is get them to come to church. Because here's what I know. Here's what I know. If you're coming out of an addiction, you need new friends, you need new people, you need new voices, you need new stuff in your life. And you need, so I tell people, you need to come immerse yourself in here. We're open on Tuesdays, come on Tuesdays. We're here on Wednesdays, come on Wednesdays. Come on Sundays. Get in a class. What? The more you hear it, the more it impacts you. And if you're coming out of, man, you're like, man, I've been addicted for a long time. I say, well, get yourself in here. It's immersion. The more you get around this and you get around people, and they're not talking about when they can score their next drug deal. They're talking about how they love God. And don't think that won't impact you. Just say it. Don't be conformed to this world, which indicates that if you don't do something, you will be. So what do I do? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now we need to talk about that. Renewing of your mind. Said, I've never heard of that. Well, you've been doing it. But if you become more intentional about it, it'll help you. That word renew means to renovate. Let me just give you some definitions of that. Renew. It means to restore to a better condition, to make brighter and prettier, to give life, new life, or energy. How many of you know when you renovate something around your home, if you've ever done, and you just go, this kitchen, we're going to do something with this kitchen. But I'm going to find some older formica than what we already have. And I can see if I can find some cheap tile. No, no. When you renovate, you update. You put nice stuff in there. Some of you who've spent money on this ought to at least say amen. You ought to make it nicer. You ought to walk in after you've renovated going, that looks a whole lot better than it used to look. It looks brighter. It looks prettier. It's got new energy. We need to do that to our minds. Said, because what happens is we all come in with minds that need renovating. So what am I to do that with? Well, I'm glad you asked. John, 8th chapter, this is what Jesus says. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If I'm to change the way I think, my perspective, my attitudes, I'm going to have to use something that's powerful, and I'm going to have to use God's word to do it. Truth will make you free. Now, let me talk just a little bit tonight about the perspective window. If you could imagine a sheet of glass about 2 feet by 2 feet, and that it hangs in front of your face. Everyone's got one. It's a sheet of glass. It's the perspective window. It's the window in which you look out. It's the window in which information comes in. You're working with me here? This is a metaphor. You say, where's that scripture? This is not a scripture. This is a metaphor. But there is a perspective on how you look at things. There's a perspective. And oftentimes, it's been influenced by how you grew up. If you grew up in a home, and maybe your parents told you, you're a little slow, and you're never going to amount to much, that has influenced your life, your perspective. It has influenced how you filter things. Oh, you always make mistakes, and you'll have that perspective. Well, you don't have much brains. I hope you've got some looks. That will influence. Anything that's been said to you, good and bad, influences how you see things and how things come back into you. You have relationships and other people. So other people can say, and so what happens is that glass is no longer clean and pure. It's got all kinds of stuff on it. It's got things, it's got graffiti. It's got stuff that people have written on it. It's got stuff that are wrong stuff, but that's how you see things. And that's how you relate to things. If you grew up in a home where dad beat mom, there's a good chance if you're not careful, you'll follow that same pattern. Because we're impacted by what we've grown up with. And so we have that perspective window. Everybody's got one. Everyone's got a perspective. The key is, once we come into Christ, even though we're born again on the inside, the window still hasn't changed. And the window, we still have to clean it. And the best thing to clean the window with is with God's Word. And so then you begin to take what God said and you begin to wipe off some of the stuff that was said. You're slow. Well, you can wipe that off with, I'm a new creation in Christ and I've got the mind of Christ. I'm going to wipe that stuff off. You hear someone say, well, you're not worth much at all. And you all say, oh, no. I've been purchased and I've been bought with a price. Let me wipe that off. And so our whole life becomes a process of cleaning off what other people have said. And by the way, some of the worst stuff is stuff we've said about ourselves. You say, well, that sounds like psychology. No, this is renewing the mind. Renewing the mind says we're taking God's Word and we're using it so that our filter, that how we see life is impacted by God's Word, and then how things come back into us is impacted by God's Word. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If there's a truth that can make you free, there's a lie that can bring you into bondage. And so oftentimes, we're having to get rid of the lies. Remember me sitting there at a stoplight in Houston thinking I'm going to get divorced? Well, I got saved a few months later. Came back to the Lord, rededicated my life. I started cleaning that window off. I did begin to think, Lord, you called me, and when Jordan and I got married, by that time that window was clean. We're like, we're going to make this work. If it kills both of us, we're going to make this work. And we stayed in, and divorce wasn't an option, and we didn't bring it up. And so we begin to clean that window off. But you got the world always telling you, well, it doesn't work. Most of them doesn't work. Half of them doesn't work. Yours probably won't work either. You got to watch what you let people write on your window. You can't stop them from writing on your window, but you can sure stop what you keep there. Come on. You ever had people tell you? I've had people tell me this. I had kids. How many kids you got? Three? Boy, you know it's coming now. They're going to break your heart. What? Said who? Right now, they're like 1 year old and 6 years old. Oh, they're going to break your heart. I said, no, I love my kids. I enjoy being a dad. Oh. You just wait till they're a teenager. And all hell is going to break loose in your life. I got some Windex for that. I squirt a little bit of raise up a child in the way he will go. And even when he's old, he won't depart from it. Clean that window off. Amen. People look at me, they go, oh, your kids are going to break your heart. I said, I have no expectation that my kids are going to break my heart. I have expectation if I raise them the right way, they are going to serve God. What if it didn't turn out that way? But it did.
Right.
Hey, you want the world dictating to you how your kids are going to turn out? Or are you at least going to put up a fight? Yes. You ought to at least go, I'm not accepting that. I'm going to start a business. You know, 85% of businesses don't make it past the first 5 years. Oh, great, wonderful. I'll just keep that in my perspective. That's happy. Do you understand? Listen, we've had so much of this, oftentimes we don't even recognize when it's coming in. If you've grown up in a family that is negative all the time, you've just gotten so used to negative. But what happens is I've watched people, they come in, man, they come to the Lord, they begin to grow, and they go back and they see their old friends. They go, I don't understand it. Everyone I hang out with is negative, man. Everyone is negative. No, they've always been negative. That's the way it used to be. But you've been washing the window. You've been taking stuff off. You've been clearing out your perspective, and you see things differently. I mean, you got all the people right now, oh, our country's going downhill. It's going into the grave. Listen, I'm still somebody that believes that God can still do something in my country. I refuse to see it any other way. And there's still a lot of us here. We're not going downhill. We're not going to hell. We're going in a good direction. But you got to watch what comes in. Look what Paul, Carrie, put up that one. This is the best way to do this. And second, Carrie, would you put up 2 Timothy 3 for me? There you go. Paul's writing to Timothy. He said this, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them." By the way, don't just take anybody's word for something. Who are they? "And from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine," that's teaching, "for reproof, for correction, for instruction or training or discipline in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." I know y'all think I'm just like on a personal bent to get everyone to read their Bible. But this is the reason why. If for you to realize your full potential in God, you're going to have to read your Bible. You're going to have to develop a perspective that is different from the one that you brought in. I'm talking about reaching your God. I'm not saying, well, you might, well, Alan, I'm very successful right now. I'm talking about reaching your potential in Christ, reaching your potential in God. You're going to have to read your Bible. And people act like, well, it's just the biggest deal. I just don't have time. I just can't do it. I'm telling you, you do have time. And if you discipline yourself, you can do it. But you're not going to grow like you should. And you're not going to renew your mind like you should if you don't. But if you do, your perspective will begin to change. People are putting stuff all over your window all the time. But boy, when you continue to read God's word, you continue to wipe that thing clean and wipe it clean and wipe it clean. And you get a different perspective about your marriage, about your life, about your health, about what you're doing. If you don't read, then if you don't spend any time with the Lord, then you're still subject to all the stuff you get. You go to work and you see, you know, they go, "How you doing?" They go like, "Man, I'm having problems. Man, I'm having problems at home." Somebody's going to pipe up with some real godly advice. "I tell you what, I just said forget it, got me. I said forget it, I just got my hunting dog and my fishing boat. I don't need a wife." Thank you, Sparky, that's just the kind of stuff I needed. Am I wrong? Do you ever hear that stuff? Or you get someone go, "Darling, I'll tell you something. They don't make any more good men anymore. You need to get you just forget it. It ain't going to happen." You need someone that's going to tell you, "Hey, you can wash your wife with the water of the word. Hey, you can begin to have a godly marriage. Hey, you can have a marriage that honors God. Hey, God can do something in your marriage." You need to hear something different. Amen. I feel like it's me and the crickets tonight. Are y'all here? And I realize this hits hard, but what happens is, Paul said, don't get conformed to the world, get transformed. Now listen, the transformation doesn't take place overnight, but those of you who walk with the Lord for a long time, just going, well, you just, week by week, Sunday by Sunday, devotion time by devotion time, what's God doing? He's showing you things. He's helping you. You're beginning to clear your mind and the way you think. And God's word has the ability to do that. I quoted that verse in Ephesians. It says, by the washing of water with the word. God's word can help us begin to clear our perspective, clear the way we think. Some of you have been raised to believe that you really don't count for much and you're really not going to amount to much. And you know, God just puts up with you. But the more you begin to read your Bible, the more you begin to find out what Jesus has done in you, the more you begin to realize your value. And the more you begin to realize God loves me. And I have a place with God. And there is something I can do, and I'm not going to give in to this. And I can make a difference in life. You don't get that just by positive thinking. You don't get that just by hanging out with positive people. You get that from taking God's word and beginning to put it into your life, because it can train you, it can teach you, it can show up what's false, and can give you truth. And truth will make you free. Does that make sense? Don't be conformed. Listen, I'm not saying quit your job and read your Bible all day. Please don't do that. What I am saying is just begin to devote some time. And if you say, well, Alan, I just don't feel like it's doing me any good. It's doing you good. Trust me, it's doing you good. Stop saying that. Start saying, thank you, Lord. Your word is life to me and it's helping me. I love to read my Bible. That'd be a new thought, wouldn't it? I love to read my Bible. If you could begin to do that, it makes such a difference in your life. Just begin to take a little time, just a little time. Well, when I come to church, you teach the Bible, isn't that all I need? That helps. Sure it helps. Absolutely. If I didn't think it helped, I wouldn't encourage you to come. I'd say, stay home. No, it didn't help. I believe it helps tremendously. But the idea is, if you can begin to do this on your own and feed yourself on your own, man, you just stay stronger. And your perspective begins to change. And I promise you, your perspective begins to brighten. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. You know that word transform? It's actually the word that we get the word metamorphosis from. It's a change from the inside out. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So won't God do that for me? No. He'll help us, but we're the ones that have to do it. So isn't that an automatic process? If I got saved a few years ago, won't I just naturally just grow and develop? No. You have to be intentional about it. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Look at this. Paul's writing to the church. He said, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you're not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you're not yet able, for you're still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? Now, this is a very interesting passage. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And the church at Corinth was in like an area. Corinth would be like a modern-day Las Vegas. What happened in Corinth stayed in Corinth. They had idol worship. And when the Corinthians came out of idol worship, I mean, their worship is, let's take off all our clothes and have sex. That's how we worship. That'll fill a church. Some of you are going, did he just say that? Yeah, he did. That's exactly what he said. That's what the Corinthians, hey, listen, we don't have a lockdown on immorality, guys. It's been around since the beginning. And Corinth was an incredibly wicked town. And so you had people coming in, and Paul is writing to them. He said, guys, he said, I can't even write. He didn't write them and say, bless God, neither, none of y'all are saved. I said, some of you come from that background where if you sin, you just lost your salvation. Paul's writing to this group. He didn't say, you lost your salvation, you're not saved. He said, I can't write to you as spiritual people. I have to write to you as fleshly people. People who are still ruled by their flesh, by their lower nature, by their sinful desires. And he said, there's envy, there's strife and the division. Then he said, you're walking like mere men. The word actually means mere unchanged men. So what's it implying? It's implying for those of us here that if we don't do something to say, I'm going to grow, I'm going to learn, I'm going to change, then you can still walk like someone who has never come into a relationship with the Lord, an unchanged man. Now, I've been around church a long time. Sometimes people would come in and, man, they would come to the Lord. You could tell they just had a personal relationship with the Lord, but then they fell away or something, and people would say, oh, they never got anything. I disagree with that. I think they receive the Lord. When you ask Jesus into your heart, if you're sincere, you're a new creation in Christ. But if you don't do something about renewing your mind and keeping your body under, you'll live just like you did before you got saved. And then people get condemned. They're like, I can never do this. I'm a horrible Christian. I'm a terrible person. I'm just lousy. I can't do this. This is too hard. I can't do this. I can't do that. There's no sense in me even trying. I'm a failure. You need to wipe that window clean. You are not a failure. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you can come through this, but you're going to have to be intentional about it. Does that make sense? And people say, well, I came, it's Wednesday night, and I'm here. And I'm glad you're here. And I think that's wonderful. But you had to be intentional about coming here. You just didn't get in your car and go, I'm just going to drive. And wherever I wind up is where I'll be. Whoa, I'm at church. No, that's what people on drugs do. You didn't do that. You said, I'm going to church. I'm going here. I'm intentional about it. And that's good. But you also have to be intentional going, I've got to change the way I think about things. I've got to change my perspective on things. I've got to change my attitude on things. Don't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you just grew up thinking, I'm just a negative person. I've always been a negative person. No show of hands. I've always been a negative person. I'm just negative. Mama was negative. Her mama was negative. I come from a long line of negative people. Don't raise someone else's hand. That's not fair. But if you buy into that thought, guess what's going to happen? You're going to stay that way. Say, well, I thought God loved me. He did love you. He saved you. I thought he was going to do something about me. No, he has. He has given you his spirit to live on the inside of you. He has recreated you on the inside. He has given you his word. He's given you a crazy pastor who keeps telling you to read your Bible. Are you with me on this? It takes some intentionality. And what we're doing is, and you don't understand this on Wednesday night, this is what we do. You hear things. It begins to, some of you could say, my perspective has changed. I don't think the same way I used to think. Ooh. I've been laying it on hard and thick. I was going to talk about giving, but let me come up with another one. But isn't it all perspective? Well, how about this? How about forgiveness being a new perspective? Anybody grow up in a family, it's like, we hold grudges. And we never forget, ever. Joy's family's Italian. They haven't forgotten anything for generations. And if you grow up that way, that can be the way you think until you find out what the scriptures say, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. And you're like, whoa. I'm supposed to be kind and tenderhearted? Yeah. I'm supposed to forgive? Yeah. New thought. But it's a good thought. And over and over again, say, well, Alan, when do I ever get my mind renewed? My personal belief, I know why we're on earth. Never. It's a process. But I believe when we get to heaven, I bet we're still renewing. I thought when we get to heaven, we turn into fat baby angels and with harps and we shoot. No. No. Are we going to recognize one another in heaven? Well, do you recognize one another now? You're not going to turn into a naked fat baby angel with a bow and arrow. What haven't I covered tonight, huh? I just said. Paul wrote the Corinthian church, and he says, guys, I wanted to talk to you as spiritual people. He said, I couldn't. You're not able to receive it. And he's talking about milk and meat. He said, you're still fleshly. He didn't say you weren't saved. He said, you're fleshly. You're still flesh ruled. If you understand children, you understand flesh ruled. We have small children under the age of 2 around my house now on Sunday afternoon, my grandchildren. They are flesh ruled. They're not happy. They don't go, hey, Pop's taking a nap. I'm going to chill. I'm hungry, but I can wait. It's like, ah! I don't look up and go, stupid baby, why didn't you let me sleep? Well, I think that, but I don't think, hey, I know why you didn't let me sleep. It was because you're a baby and you're flesh ruled. But how many of you know if they're doing that at 12, we got a problem? At 12, you look at them and go, hey, just button it until I get after the nap. You're old enough to control yourself. We hope. That's the goal. That's where we're working towards. Spiritually speaking, you can be the same way. You can come into Christ. He said, I was talking to you as infants in Christ. People come to Christ like, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. I'm born again. This is wonderful. But you're still young in Christ, and you still have to grow. And one thing about babies is they get upset, and they're like, ah! You say, they didn't get saved. No, they're saved. They're young. in Christ. We want to get to the place where in Christ, where we're not feelings dominated. That's the goal. That's right. That's what we're shooting for. And this is the process of renewing our mind. Well, I'm all over the map tonight, but we had fun. Let's pray. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, you didn't leave us as we are, but you gave us the capacity, the ability to change. Thank you for your word. We love your word. We love to read your word. Your word is life to us, and we thank you for it. Father, I thank you for every individual that's here tonight. I thank you for what you're doing in their life and how wonderful a plan you have for each and every one of us. Thank you, Father. None of them have to be conformed, but all of us can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Thank you for that wonderful privilege. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you came this evening and said, Alan, I am not a Christian. I'm not born again. I've never asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, but I'd like to. Or you're here tonight and you say, Alan, I have done that, but I've gotten so far away. I just feel like I'm so far away from God, and I so much want to reconnect with Him. We're going to say a prayer, and this is for you. It's a powerful prayer. It's short, and I'm not going to ask you to come to the front or stand up. But this is a moment between you and God that's so wonderful. If you're here tonight and you say, I really want in on this, would you pray for me? I either want to come back to the Lord, or I want to know Him for the very first time. Would you pray for me? Real quick, just slip your hand up across the auditorium. We'll begin to pray. Thank you. Thanks. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thanks. Yes, way in the back. See you. Thanks. Anybody else? Great. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. Listen, you can jump in on this prayer. We're all going to pray it with you. It's right out of the heart. I'll lead you and say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now. I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.